Good morning, everyone. It's always a shame to sort of interrupt the really interesting conversations going on. But there is tea and coffee afterwards, and please feel free to continue then. It's lovely to see everyone this morning. And for those who don't know me, my name is NG Anya. I like to think I know I'm a child of God, and I say wife of one UD Anya. We've got two children, and this morning we're going to be talking about having an attitude of gratitude, which is quite a good time to talk about it as well. Shall we pray before we start? Lord, I ask that we will have listening ears, hearing hearts this morning, and help me to speak clearly and simply, and may we hear your word, and may we be encouraged, challenged, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to lay a few foundations first, and then we will go into the scripture. So I was thinking, what do we mean by attitude? We hear this a lot. And it's just, from my perspective, simply just the mindset, you know, which influences how we behave. So I believe that an attitude towards something doesn't start from the behavior itself. It starts from how we think about things and how we see things and how we're feeling about the thing. And an attitude of gratitude isn't born out of fear of being seen as ungrateful. That's not a good source. It's also not born out of guilt of not being grateful enough. So I feel guilty, therefore I ought to be more grateful. Or, oh, I'm afraid you're going to think I'm ungrateful, therefore I'll be grateful. It doesn't quite work that way. We may try, but it doesn't quite work that way. So I'll suggest that to get there, that attitude of gratitude, it would require eyes that see and an understanding of who we are and what we've been given. Now, I know the opposite of gratitude is ingratitude, you know, synonyms, antonyms, all of that stuff. Opposite of gratitude and ingratitude. But for the purpose of this talk this morning, I have said that the opposite is discontentment. Discontentment can be driven by a sense of entitlement. You know, I deserve more. Or a warped sense of justice. They don't deserve whatever it is they have. And then sometimes we forget that Jesus said, God of God, he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. So discontentment, opposite of gratitude, it shows up in different ways, in comparing ourselves to ourselves, in constant complaining, grumbling, moaning, in envy. And I know I'm starting quite hard, I apologize, so this message is for me as well as for all of us. In unhealthy competition, pettiness, covetousness, in hostility. When we're discontent, that's sometimes what comes out. And I think it's a sad place not to recognize how blessed we are. It's a sad place not to be able to say thank you, but only to sort of focus on the things we think we're missing or what we haven't received. It's sad not to have eyes to look at yourself and realize, oh my goodness, I am blessed. And I'm not talking about material things, you know, stuff. However, just merely knowing what discontentment, you know, is, how it shows up, will not necessarily help us have an attitude of gratitude. You know, it's like, oh, okay, so let me switch over. So I'm going back to, you know, who we are. and how we think about what we have. Now, an attitude of gratitude is knowing how blessed we are, is about being thankful for what we do have, and of showing appreciation. And it's not based on how our day's going. So it's not based on I've received something or something marvelous has happened. Ooh, I'm grateful. It's a state of contentment. And it's rooted in that contentment. And it's based on a revelation of who we are and what we have. So we'll start with Apostle Paul, who said this in Philippians 4, 11 to 13. And I believe it will come up on the screen. So Philippians 4, 11 to 13. He says, not that I'm speaking of being in need. He was talking to the Philippian church. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. Some of us don't know how to abound. So just an off comment there. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I'm going to use the character of King David to sort of illustrate Paul's mindset. I know we all know David. I think we should all know David. Even if you're new to church, even if this is your first time of coming in, and if it is, you're welcome. King David and Goliath, I think everybody knows about that. So I won't go through the whole story. Start from 1 Samuel 16 and just read onwards. But suffice it to say that when David's brothers were invited to be anointed, he wasn't included. He killed Goliath, he served King Saul, and instead, what did he get in return? Being chased about to be killed. The guy had a hard time. Hard time. He got reported. Even when he hid, the people he hid in their city said, oh, Saul, he's here, come and get him. And he hadn't done anything to them. So David had his share of troubles. But something fascinated me. I love the Psalms, and I hope people here do as well. But I like us to note the introductions, not just the Psalm itself. So I've got seven of them, and I'll go through them very quickly. Psalm 34. It says, of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. So what happened is David was running for his life. He went to King Abimelech. He wanted to be there. But, you know, people were like, oh, is that not David? And he had to pretend to be crazy. And Abimelech sort of sent him away. And the Bible says, this is what David says. He's running for his life. I know it sounds, you know, oh, in the Bible. Think about the worst situation you could face. He then says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes his boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. He had just been sent out. Second Psalm, Psalm 52. To the choir master. I quite like it. It sounds very, like, I don't know, exciting. You know, to the choir master, a maskil of David. When Dog the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Ahimelech was a priest at that time. And David went there, and this man saw him and went and reported him. David says in verses 8 to 9, at that time, but I'm like a green olive tree in the house of my God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. Sounds like theory, because he's far away, he's David from old times. But again, think about it. You're trying to get something done. And somebody who you haven't done anything to decides, I'm going to just make your life a little bit more miserable. Psalm 52 is the same thing, but I will read it. To the choir master with stringed instrument, a masculine of David, when the Ziphites went and told Saul, is not David hiding among us? And David says, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to you, to your name, O Lord. For it is good, for he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eyes has looked in triumph. How is this man saying things whilst he's in the middle of a difficult situation? Psalm 56. To the choir master, according to the dove on the fire of terebinths, a miktam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. And he says, in God whose words I pray, whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. He's just been captured by the enemy or when they seized him. Psalm 57, to the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Saul was chasing him everywhere, got him in the cave. David fled. David then said, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over the earth. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praise to you among the nations. What kind of man is this? What sort of person is this man? Two more. Psalm 59. To the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a miktam of David, when Saul sent men to watch his house in order to kill him. If you remember that story, his wife had to let him down and pretended he was, I think, put some whatever it was, like an idol or something, and covered it up. And David says, verse 17, oh, my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. Last one, Psalm 63. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. A wilderness. A wilderness is a difficult place. A wilderness is a very difficult place. It's a dry place. A wilderness. Metaphorically, some of us may be in that season. But he says, so I will bless you as long as I live. You know some of these, you know the songs. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. And my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Of course, note that I only read the parts where he was giving thanks, yeah? I didn't read the whole psalm. And if you do read the whole psalm, you will see that David was very honest with God in those seasons. But the point is, at that time, what he was doing was to praise and worship. What kind of person is that? Think about it. How has your week been this week? I know how my week has been. My husband would know. And what comes out in that time? He had an attitude of gratitude. But I'll pause here just to remind us, no guilt, no guilt, no fear. That's not the source of gratitude. So if you're feeling it, let it go. So how do we develop this attitude from a position of contentment, which Paul talks about and David illustrates so well? And as I mentioned earlier, it's a revelation of who you are, what you've been given, and how you see. This morning, let's focus on the crux. Who are you? What have you got? And this could be a whole teaching series on itself. But let's just come simply. You're a child of God. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. We should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. And this is so, we know this, don't we? Yeah, we're children of God. But when it actually gets tested, is in hard places. That's how we know what we really do believe and what we know about ourselves. I mean, we have earthly examples of, children of royalty, and there's media talk about, you know, what they wear, how they are, all of that stuff. Your God has clothed you with righteousness. He's clothed you with beauty. He's put on you a garment of praise. His glory is on you. Child of God, you're beautiful. You're complete in him. You're accepted. You're loved. You're gifted. Because of the position he's given you. Not because of the material things that we've got, or achievements, or anything. Do you know you're a child of God? I know it's simple. It's so simple that we could miss it. But there is a depth in that revelation. As for me, that's where all of my confidence comes from. All. Absolutely all. Because I know right now I can walk into the throne room and as I like to say, he'd be like, yes, Angie. Because I've seen him, not physically. Child of God, you belong to God. And every week, the world will hit at you. It will remind you of what you think you don't have, what you think you've lost, how they think you don't belong. The fears about so many things. Remember, you belong to a Father. And he's clothed you. He is your glory and the lifter up of your head. These are very simple truths. But what happens is, when life hits, then we know where our anchor is. If you want an attitude of gratitude, that is what you hold on to. Because you wake up in the morning, and oh my goodness, you know you're loved, you're seen, you're accepted. Some of you may not, I don't know everybody here, but if you're not a Christian and you're thinking, I hear a tug in my heart, you can do that now. You can just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died for me and you rose for me. Forgive me for the wrongs I've done. Come and live in me. And that's it. It's not hard. He doesn't make it hard. The second thing is, what do we have? And we could, you know, we talk about promises of God in the scripture and we can sort of read all of them. But as I was reflecting, there is one key thing. We have access to God's ear. How many times this week, this month, this year, have we chased after access of a consultant, a doctor, a director, a CEO, a store manager, whoever has got the thing that we require? Think about, I'm sure, you know, this year, you know, you've got a complaint about a store and the person at the front desk is not dealing with the thing. I want to see your manager. I want access to that manager. You're trying to do something at work. I need to speak to whoever has got it somewhere. You need something and the NHS or GP is not doing it. And you're like, where is a consultant? I need access to the person, the very person. I need their ears. We seek access, isn't it? We're looking for the ear of the person who can sort the thing we're trying to do. You've got God's ear. And this is not about, like, I don't know, like pretending or faking it till we make it, you know, whatever. You've actually got God's ear. The Lord of the heavens, who made everything, who is everything, who is more powerful than anything, who's the Most High. There's nobody above him. He created all things. All intelligence belongs to him. All beauty, glory, power, honor, everything, wisdom. Everything. Everything. Where did Daniel get his wisdom? From the Lord. Where did David's glory come from? From the Lord. Where did Joseph's wisdom come from? From the Lord. Where did Paul's strength come from? From the Lord. Some of the innovations in science by Christians. The being you're talking about is not a man. He's a spirit. And my goodness, powerful. Intelligent. And that doesn't even begin to describe the person we're talking about. He's in heaven. He's on earth. He's everywhere. He's in the past, in the present, in the future. He's in your heart and yet everywhere around us. He's in places you've never ever been. He's in the depths of the sea. He's in the heights of the heavens. He's in every... There is nothing hidden from his sight on earth. The person we're talking about is not a man. I know he's God, and sometimes we make up a God that is, I don't know, fluffy and I don't know. No. He's the one that creates things by the word of his mouth. You, sitting there, have got his ear. And I know I'm emphasizing this, and it feels like I'm on this point, and like, NG, move on. No. Because when it hits, that's where you turn. Child of God, you have got God's ear. Two things. You're a child of God. You've got his ear. Simple things. A child will get it. But may we get that revelation in the depths of our spirit. So when something is threatening your peace or threatening our peace or causing us not to have that gratitude, how do we be like David and Paul? Be thankful with your mouth. Open it and say, thank you. And when it's not an easy thing to do, consider it a sacrifice of praise. Now, this is not about us going to somebody else. I'm like, you be thankful. No. This is for you, for me as a person. Sometimes we may not always have earned the right to say to somebody else, be thankful. That's a right. But for us, we can say to ourselves. And did you notice that Paul said he has learned? So it's not an instant thing. Did you see that in that Philippians, I think it was 4, where he said, I have learned. It's a process. So if you're not there yet, don't worry. But begin to do that. I have learned in whatever situation, whether I'm low or high, whether I'm it's abundance or lack. However, I'm not defined by how much I have or don't have. That's what he's saying. It's like a state of contentment. What can you do with such a man? It's amazing. So it's a learning process. And I think we should give ourselves space to reflect on the things we do have. And if you don't know what to thank God for, and I hope this works, I've got my then 4-year-old to remind you the things that you can do. And Anna, see if that audio works. If it doesn't, that's fine. We'll move on. Is that?
And for mommy's glasses, and for mommy's earrings.
Sorry, do you want to restart it from the start?
And for mommy's necklace, and for the tissue, and for
So Ellie, the prayer says, you know, thank God, think of the many good things God has given you, and thank Him.
For mommy. And for mommy's glasses, and for mommy's earrings, and for mommy's bracelet, and for mommy's necklace, and for the tissue, and for Jezebel and my clothes,
yes.
And for the hammer said daddy, and and thank you for my teacher and the planet, and my Bible and book, and the iPad, and the clothes, and the pillow, and the blanket, and the bed. And curtains and roof and the light bulb and box and post and me, yes. And daddy and letters and reading bags and bags and
that is one. Okay.
And wardrobes and prayer thingies and oil,
yep.
And legs and medicine.
Yes.
And coronavirus.
Are we thanking the Lord for coronavirus?
Now this time.
Okay. So you say in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I know. It was just a minute, but the point is a 4-year-old will look around and just start thanking God. So open your eyes. Look around your house. Look at yourself. If you're thinking, I don't know where to start, and thank the Lord. Now can we stand on our feet if we're able? We're going to sing a song. Don't be in a hurry to join. What I'd like us to do is, let's practice that gratitude. Who you are, what you've been given. Isaac. Open your mouth, don't wait for me. Just, your father is here. Thank him. Let's be like David, let's be like Paul. You're right. Don't worry. Do you want me to carry her? Come on, then. Let's do this together, okay? Oh, the glory of your presence. We your temple, give you reverence, so arise to your rest and be by our praise as we glory in your embrace as your presence now fills this place. Let's sing it from the heart. Don't worry about the music. All the glory, of your presence. You're the temple of God. We your temple. Give you reverence, Lord, so arise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace as your presence now fills this place. Just one more time. All the glory of your presence, we your temple, give you reverence, so arise to your rest and be blessed by our praise as we glory in your embrace as your presence now fills this place. Just lift up your voice. Thank your Father who loves you. Thank your God who loves you, who's giving you access, who sees you, who is our high priest. You are welcome in his presence, child of God. You are beloved by him. You're precious to him. He loves you. He loves you. He has given you his all. He gave you his best. And Jesus did not shy away from the cross. He went because he knew you were coming, and we could not have got to God without him. He knew that, and so he took it to give you access, child of God. He's giving you his Holy Spirit to comfort you. He's giving you His word to remind you. He's giving us the church. Lord, we bless Your name. Even as we turn to communion, may we continue to be grateful to You, Lord. In Jesus' name.